Hi everybody, I hope this finds you well and knowing the joy and the peace of living for Jesus and serving him wherever he's called you and be part of this great Nazarene family in this region that God has brought us all together to for such a time as this. I wanted to come and say thank you to all of you for your participation in Friday and Saturday's 24 hours of prayer from the rising of the sun. This is now the second year that we've been together for this prayer movement, and I am so excited and grateful to God for what happened. And the many meetings that I was able to join with my wife Maggie, we were with hundreds and thousands of Nazarenes from so many different nations with so many different languages, praising God from the morning to the evening and right through that whole time, and an atmosphere of worship and joy, but also praying with faith and unity in the times that we prayed together. It was a great experience, and it's not the last one. Prayer is not an event, it's a movement. And I want us to keep praying all through the year. But there will be special times when we call us again to gather for moments like this. So thank you to everybody who took part for every meeting locally, in local churches and districts, across fields, and for the regional meetings. Thanks to those who organized the Zoom rooms, those who hosted, for people who brought devotions and shared their story, photographs, pictures, sunrises, sunsets, all the things that we did were just awesome. So let me say thank you and keep going. You know, this is kingdom movement that changes things. It changes us, it changes atmospheres, it changes the places that God has called us to, and it helps us fulfill the great commission that God has given us in Jesus, powered by His Spirit. So I pray God's blessing on you, and I thank God for you. Know that I love you, I pray for you, and I believe that our best days are ahead of us, and that God is going to move in great renewal and revival power all across the nations He's called us to. So keep the faith, stay strong, and know that Jesus is with you. And God bless you all.
Good morning, church, and welcome to Largs Naz Online. We appreciate your taking the time and making the effort to join us here. Whether you're watching from the Sunday brunch at Largs Naz down on Aiken Street, or you're joining us from your home or on your phone or from places all over the globe, wherever and whenever you're here, we're glad you're here. It was good to hear from our regional director, Jim Ritchie, just a moment ago. The 24 hours of prayer event was certainly a blessing as people from all over the district and all over the region joined together in prayer. Now, we joined the Zoom call for a few hours up to midnight on Friday, and I know that many of you did as well, and that many of you who weren't able to join the call were still united with us in prayer. There are great days ahead for the church and for churches in all areas, all over the world. Now, it has been a busy week for our little church building. In addition to the things that happen there every day of every week, we've had meetings and classes and a funeral for our dear brother Ian Morrison, and we're certainly keeping Margaret and the family in our prayers. And we also had worship team practice on Friday evening, and we appreciate so much those who volunteered to help us move chairs and tables and furniture around so that those events could take place. We couldn't have done it without you, that's for sure. Now, there are some upcoming events that we want to make sure you're aware of. Of course, every Wednesday at 10 a.m., we meet at the church for a time of prayer, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., we have our pre-brunch worship. The doors open at 10:15. Please remember that currently we need to wear face coverings during worship, and we'd like for you to take a lateral flow test before attending any event. You know, Pastor Tasha and I have made a habit of taking our test every morning before breakfast, and we'd ask that you take this small step in order to prevent the spread of COVID, and maybe we can put this pandemic behind us before too long. Now, after our pre-brunch worship, around 11 o'clock or so, the Largs Naz Cafe serves brunch, and we watch the online service together. Now, don't forget to let us know you're coming by calling 0756-897-7311, and we look forward to seeing you there. Now, our next Second Helping Bible study is tonight at 6 o'clock here at the church. There'll be some food and a time of worship, and we'll take communion together as well. We'll be looking back at the Unwrapped sermon series and considering Pastor Tosh's message to us today, so join us if you can. We actually have two Second Helpings this month. The next one will be on February 27th, so mark your calendar for that as well. Now, our next First Friday worship practice will be on March 4th at 7 p.m. You can find out about that and all the other things going on in the life of the church in this month's newsletter that was released this week. You can get copies at the church or electronically by sending us an email. Now, before we get into worship this morning, I want to express our appreciation to the musicians who have helped us provide this online service to you over the last couple of years, particularly Nathan Drake of Reawaken Hymns and our friends Brannon and Gloria Hancock and Rick Lee James and Michael McAdory and the worship team at Midland Valley Community Church of the Nazarene in South Carolina, and of course Pastor Tasha and her mom Melanie Allison, and anyone else that I haven't mentioned. We are so thankful for your gifts and your efforts and your generosity. You have been a blessing to so many over these months. But this morning's music comes courtesy of the Largs Naz worship team. That's Rick and Janice Wilson and Neil Morrison and Pastor Tasha and myself. And I have a feeling that you're going to be hearing more from the Largs Naz worship team in these online services in the future. And now you'll know who they are when you see them. Now, let's pray together, please. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to join together with our brothers and sisters in this virtual space for a time and a place that we can be reminded that we are the body of Christ, and your Spirit dwells within us and directs and empowers and enables all that we do. Make us especially mindful of your presence as we worship, and give us ears to hear what you would say to us as Pastor Tasha brings the message that you have laid on her heart today. We pray all of these things in the matchless and mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, the Apostle Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." This is the written word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church. It's been a busy week for Largs NAS this week. On Tuesday afternoon, we hosted a Largs Churches Together quarterly meeting where there was representation from most of the churches here in Largs. On Tuesday evening, we held a CPR first aid course led by the Largs first responders, and we learned what to do if somebody has a heart attack or chokes on a bite of food at brunch. Now, those are good tools to have, especially for those of us who share a meal together every Sunday, week after week. And then on Wednesday morning, as we do every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., we prayed together as a collective body of believers. We prayed over our church and each person in it. Then we spent the rest of the day cooking and packaging and labeling over 60 meals to be delivered to families and individuals in need of a little nourishing in our community. On Thursday, we welcomed the family of Ian Morrison as together we celebrated his life and devotion to building the kingdom. We held our first Friday this week as well, and what a wonderful time it was. Our church family gathered together. We sang and we worshiped with the praise team. It was a great time. It's been a busy week in the life of the church. And as I studied the word and spent time in prayer in preparation for today's sermon, I was reminded over and over again of how God uses each one of our gifts and graces, each one of our experience and knowledge in unique ways to share the gospel of Christ. Now, we've walked together through this Unwrapped series over the past few weeks, and we've looked at how the church in Corinth, this brand new body of believers with varied stories and backgrounds, not just culturally, but socially and economically, how this diverse group was working out their new identity in Christ. And we've seen that there were some real challenges in figuring out what that meant for them as the church, particularly in the area of spiritual gifts. There was certainly a lack of unity in the church at Corinth over this. And to address that situation, Paul compares the human body with the body believers. Now, you heard Pastor Steve read our passage. This analogy that Paul uses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 wouldn't have been a new one for the folks he was writing to. You see, other writers in the Roman world use this same human body comparison to describe, or really to support, social hierarchy, the positions that people have in society. So it was an analogy that supported the status quo. In one of the stories, the different parts of the body think that the stomach is getting a free ride. So they decide to stop feeding the stomach. They just boycott it altogether. So soon, those parts that have boycotted the stomach become fatigued. Their nutrients run out, and eventually the body dies. In these stories, the head of the state or family or empire is usually the head of the body. But in this story, it was the stomach. And this was typically the wealthy or the elite in society. And the rest of the body worked to support the head or the stomach. The parts of the body that do all the dirty work, those parts of the body that were often abused, neglected, or taken advantage of, those parts often represented the peasants or lower class in society. But that's not what Paul is doing here in chapter 12. Instead of using the same fables that his audience would have been familiar with that supported social hierarchy and the abuse of certain parts of the body, like the hands to feed and support those other, you know, the stomach and the head. Instead of that, Paul is using the body metaphor to describe equality rather than hierarchy. A system where nobody is more important or more necessary than anyone else. Paul flips the political rhetoric upside down by suggesting that unity of the body doesn't mean that the less honorable parts get abused and neglected and taken advantage of, but rather it means all parts work together and belong to each other. And because of that, those parts that would have been considered weaker are in fact indispensable. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's look at the beginning of scripture this morning, starting in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For one, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit." Now, the very first thing Paul says about the body is that the body is one. It has many members, lots and lots of working parts, hands and feet and eyes and nose, ears, shoulders, knees and toes. You remember that song when you were a kid? It's what goes through my mind when I read this part. Hands and feet and eyes and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, sorry about that. But it's one, the body is one, all these working parts, one with each other. All of the parts, and one with Christ, baptized by the Spirit into one body. We aren't the body independently, we're the body collectively. And what Paul was saying to the church then and to us now is that in order to do the work of the kingdom, the work that God has called us to do, we need each other. There was bickering and competition at the church in Corinth because they were wrapped up in whose gift was better than whose, too focused on their social and economical hierarchy. And they were using the gifts of the Spirit for personal gain. They were trying to build themselves up rather than building up the body of Christ in unity as one in spirit, one in body. Some of you have shared with Pastor Steve and me that you feel a little uncomfortable answering the questions on the gift survey that we handed out a couple of weeks ago, and I get it. Paul was hesitant to boast about himself, but he was quick to boast about what God was allowing through him and allowing him to be a part of. So I totally understand that it's hard sometimes to think about things you're good at. You certainly don't want to come across as boasting or bragging. But the purpose of filling out this survey isn't so that we can brag, like the Corinthians, about our gifts or how good we are at one thing or another. You've been asked to fill out this survey because it's a tool. A tool that can help us collectively as the body of Christ understand our resources that allow us to share the gospel of grace to our neighbors in Largs and beyond. A tool that will help us better understand the reservoir of resources, gifts, talents, and expertise right here in our church body, and a tool that will help us step into the next season of radical hospitality as we work to bring people and Christ together. We need each other. And as the church, it's important that we understand that and that we embrace that. Each part of the body is important, and each part of the body has a role to play that is vital to the health of the body as a whole. And this brings me to my second point, and that is this. We are all arranged by God. Paul asks the church in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. Each one of us has unique gifts and graces given by the Spirit that complement each other. Gifts that are given by the Spirit for the good of the whole community, arranged by God himself. And just like the parts of the human body, each member of the church body supplies what the other lacks. And it's that diversity that's so beautiful and functional. You may think that because you don't cook or bake or teach Sunday school or host a small group in your home, that you can't be part of the current ministries of the church. But if the whole church were cooks, where would the youth outreach be? If the whole church were teachers, where would the financial supporters be? If the whole church were leaders, where would the prayer warriors be? And I'm here to tell you, even someone confined to their bed can move heaven and earth with prayer. We are all arranged and put in place by God. And each one of our gifts are important to the body as a whole. Because you see, we've all been brought to Christ differently. And we all have different stories, each one as beautiful and unique and interesting as the next. And everything you've been through, everything you've learned, everything you have experienced, all of the heartache, all of the joy, all the knowledge you've accumulated for your whole life, God uses those things for His glory and to build His kingdom. God has prepared and equipped you your whole life to be right where you are right now. My third and most important point this morning is this. As the body, we are vitally joined in Christ, and without Him, we'll perish. The human body can do without a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear, but it can't survive without its head. And just as the human body would die without a head, the church body would die without Christ at the head of all we do. This is a carpenter ant deep in the jungle of Brazil, clinging tightly to a leaf exactly 25 centimeters above the forest floor. This wee ant looks alive, but its mind has been overtaken and its body completely controlled by what's known as the zombie ant fungus. Sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? Ed Yong in The Atlantic magazine writes about the fungus Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. Now, this fungus, over the course of about a week, grows inside the ant's body, draining it of nutrients and eventually hijacking its brain. The fungus starts as a single cell and it just kind of floats around the ant's bloodstream, and then it clones itself over and over and over, and then at some point, those cells begin to connect and they build tubes and communicate and exchange nutrients. The fungus then becomes the puppet master and compels the ant to leave its community, climb a plant stem that's not far from its colony to exactly the height of 25 centimeters, which is the perfect temperature and humidity for the fungus to grow. It forces the ant to lock onto the plant stem. The fungus then sends a long stalk through the ant's head and forms a bulb at the end. Now, this is the fruiting body of the fungus, and in the world of mushrooms, and a mushroom is a fungus, this is the part of the mushroom or fungi you would see above ground. If you were out walking in the woods and you see little white mushrooms, that's the fruiting body. And when all of the nutrients are depleted in the log or the soil, wherever the fungus is living, it sends up a fruiting body, and in this case, sends a spike growing out of the ant's head, and then builds this bulb and rains down fungal spores onto the ant's colony below, starting the cycle all over again. That's an interesting and kind of creepy story, Pastor Tasha, but what does it have to do with the church? This story it's a reminder that like the colony of ants, a church community can also be infected by dangerous fungi that can hijack our hearts and minds. What do I mean? We can feed people. We can host brunch Sundays, sing songs, volunteer at the living room. We can participate in Lark's churches together and do all these other outreach programs that we do. But without Christ at the head, we, the church, are nothing more than a social club, wide open to the influence of fungus. And fungus comes in all shapes and sizes. It's jealousy, it's gossip, it's bickering, it's being judgmental of others, it's apathy, it's just going through the motions because that's the way we've always done it. That's what was going on at the church in Corinth. But that is not what's going on at Largs Church of the Nazarene. This morning, during pre-brunch worship, we sang a song called Jesus at the Center. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. And I feel that's our prayer, or better yet, our anthem. Jesus at the center of it all, Jesus at the center of my life, Jesus at the center of his church. Over the past couple of years, God has led us to reach out to the community in some incredibly creative ways, and we're seeing the effects it's had on the lives of people around us. Large Church of the Nazarene has written notes of encouragement, met at the Brisbane House for breakfast, walked the neighborhoods praying down each street, sat together at the cafe at Strathclyde House, visited in each other's homes when we were allowed, and on park benches when we weren't. We've mailed cards, baked homemade cakes and sweets for and delivered thousands of meals to folks in our community, folks from all walks of life, families, individuals, working single moms, the lonely, the exhausted NHS nurse, the addict, the bereaved. God has called us to love our neighbors, and we've been blessed with unique and wonderful opportunities so far, things we couldn't have even dreamed up a couple of years ago. During our future planning weekend, Pastor Steve and I felt God's leading into the next season of the Largs Naz Ministries as we emerge from this pandemic. And it's so exciting and so much more than we could even imagine. But we need you, church. It's going to take all of us, each and every part of the body, together, equal parts, with unique gifts and talents, experience and knowledge, arranged by God, all working together as one with Christ at the head. Jesus at the center of it all. We're going to take a few minutes to prepare the elements for communion. If you're watching us online, please take this time to gather your elements and we'll take part in the Lord's Supper together. Thank you. The communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death and resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It helps us remember to participate, to take part in his death until Christ returns. We come to the table so that we may be renewed in life and salvation and be made one by the Spirit. The supper is a means of grace which Christ is present by the Spirit, and absolutely anyone who is truly repentant, forsaking all sin and believing in Christ for salvation, is invited to take part in the death and resurrection of Christ. And so this morning we gather as one body, a family of Christ followers, in this place to remember, to participate. And so in unity with the church, as the church, we confess our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's pray. Holy God, we gather at this, your table, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who by your Spirit was anointed to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, set at liberty those who are oppressed. Christ healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and established the new covenant for forgiveness of sins. We live in the hope of his coming again. And so we gather as the body of Christ to offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these, your gifts. Make them by the power of your Spirit to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministry of Christ to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, preserve you blameless into everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you, preserve you blameless into everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father has graciously accepted us as living members of his Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Go now into the world in peace, filled with strength and courage to love and serve God, with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Father, Son, and Holy.